sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
For a breastfeeding mom, looking for remedies for common breastfeeding concerns, colds, and ailments can be a challenge. Many of the items found on the pharmacy shelves are filled with ingredients that a mom may not want to pass on to her breastfeeding baby. Essential oils can often remedy these ailments without the added food dye or toxins. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome to the show Rachel Adams-Gonzalez. Rachel is a breastfeeding mom of two and a doTERRA product consultant. Today, we are discussing essential oils for the breastfeeding mom. This is The Boob Group, episode 96.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast. Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. The Boob Group is your weekly online on-the-go support group for all things related to breastfeeding. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. Did you know that you can become involved in our episodes even if you can't make it into the studio? Post a question on our Facebook page and we will have one of our experts answer it on an upcoming episode. Or you can become involved in our recording days through our virtual panelist program, which our producer, MJ, will tell you all a little bit more about in just a few minutes. Today, we are joined by three lovely panelists in the studio. Ladies, will you please introduce yourselves?
My name is Tiffany. I am 36, and I'm a stay-at-home mom to one little boy, Jackson, who is just about 14 months old.
Okay.
My name is Sarah, and I'm 36 as well. I do work full-time, and I have a little girl, 5.5 months.
Awesome. And MJ is going to be one of our panelists as well.
Yes. I'm MJ. I am 37, and I'm a stay-at-home mom as well as my little side job here producing the show. I have a 2.5-year-old little boy named Jason.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. And will you tell us a little bit about the virtual panelist program as well?
I will, because it's really just become really amazing because our listeners are so helpful. It's kind of a sneak preview to our show before it releases, because just like our in-studio panelists, our virtual panelists are making time to be online, they're sharing experiences, they're actually like reading other people's comments and questions and engaging with them and giving them support and tips, and it's just such an extension of our show, and what we're here to do is support each other, so it's really nice to have that. And if you aren't local and if you can't come in the studio, then you can still be a part of the show, you can give your opinion. Or you can just make a mama feel normal with her situation. And we may even read your comment while we record. So cool. And then we try and post info while we're learning all this info from our awesome experts. So check out theboobgroup.com under community tab for more info on the VP program and possible perks for participation.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks, MJ.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Hey, Boob Group listeners, this is Amber McCann. I'm an international board-certified lactation consultant and the owner of Nourish Breastfeeding Support just outside of Washington, D.C. I'm here to answer some of your most common questions when it comes to finding quality breastfeeding resources online, such as, are there any laws to protect breastfeeding in my state? Several times a year, the mainstream media blows up with the story of a woman casually breastfeeding her child in public who was reprimanded by a business employee or a member of the public. As a strong believer that to see a cultural shift towards breastfeeding, we need to actually see breastfeeding, these stories always make me sad. Many women wonder about whether or not they are legally entitled to breastfeed while they're out and about. Enter breastfeedinglaw.com. This is a great resource for breastfeeding mothers and the general public both. You can look up the laws in your state so that you're informed and prepared. Know your rights in regards to breastfeeding in public, pumping while you're at work, breastfeeding while you're on jury duty, or any other number of provisions. Check out www.breastfeedinglaw.com. That's www.breastfeedinglaw.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Amber McCann, and I'd love for you to check out my website at www.nourishbreastfeeding.com for information on my business and a little bit more about where to find great online breastfeeding support. Or join me on my Facebook page at www.facebook.com/nourishbreastfeeding. And if you have an idea for a great online breastfeeding resource, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email to amber@nourishbreastfeeding.com or leave a message on the Boob Group Facebook page. Be sure to listen to the Boob Group each week for more fantastic conversations about breastfeeding and how to find great breastfeeding support.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
So today on the Boob Group, we're discussing essential oils for the breastfeeding mom. Our expert, Rachel Adams-Gonzalez, is a breastfeeding mom of two and a doTERRA product consultant. Thanks so much for joining us, Rachel, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So, Rachel, what are essential oils? Give us the lowdown.
So essential oils are aromatic compounds found in a plant. So it can be found in the seeds, the bark, stems, roots, flowers, any part of a plant, really. And it's what I consider the blood of a plant, where the medicinal properties are most heavily concentrated.
Okay. And how are essential oils made that we use?
Well, there's a couple of different ways that they can be distilled, but primarily they are steam distilled in very low temperatures. And it's if it's done properly, it's a very scientific and artistic method where you have to have just the right temperature where you don't lose the medicinal properties by overheating the oil, and you don't want it to be too low of a temperature that you're not getting enough essential oil out where you could potentially be losing some of the best medicinal properties. And then the other way that it can be distilled is by cold press, like we're very familiar with olive oil, it's cold press. So doTERRA cold presses their citrus oils, but the rest are primarily steam distilled.
Okay. And so do different companies make them in different ways, and are they all the same quality?
Well, the quality varies drastically, and there's no any kind of governmental regulation on labeling an essential oil. So, you know, like I said, steam distillation is a very scientific, and it requires a bit of art in distilling oils properly. And there's just a wide variety because there's not the control necessarily on distilling oils. You'll still get an essential oil out of a plant if you distill it at a very high temperature. It just isn't going to be the same quality. And additionally, most essential oils on the market are synthetic. There's a huge market for essential oils. So you can claim that you're using 100% pure lavender oil, and that lavender oil could very likely be made in a lab. Same for, you know, pretty much any essential oil. And so the vast majority of them are synthetic. And then if they're not synthetic, they're very likely contaminated, either diluted or have been distilled with, you know, weeds, chemicals, pesticides, you name it. And doTERRA goes through very extensive lengths where there are very few companies that actually go to the lengths that doTERRA does, where not only do they monitor very closely the distillation process or how the oils are extracted by making sure with their growers that plants are harvested at the exact right point in their growing process where the oils have the highest medicinal properties. But they're also tested in third-party labs. Every single batch of essential oils is tested and archived in case there is any kind of problem. They can go back to it and test the original batch to make sure that there is absolutely nothing that could contaminate the oil, that what's labeled on the bottle is the only thing in it. They test both the, let's see if I can say this right, I'm not a science person, the mass spectrometry and the gas chromatography. My husband's a science one, so he always explains that part. So there really is a huge range in quality of essential oils, and it is really important when you're purchasing an essential oil to get the best quality you can. And while you may be able to find an essential oil that's cheaper, it's really not likely that it's actually cheaper per drop because you have to use so much more of that oil, and it's likely very contaminated. So, yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely take home on that one is make sure you're researching where you're getting your essential oils from, for sure. So you had mentioned cost. So Sandra had posted on our Facebook page this question. If I'm on a budget, what essential oils are the best ones to start with for my family?
Well, I think you could ask 100 people and get 100 different answers. it really depends on what you're looking for, but personally, I would say lavender is a really great one to start with if you like lavender. Lemon is a great one, and I use a lot of eucalyptus in my house. I know we're going to talk more about peppermint and whether or not it's a good one to use during breastfeeding, but eucalyptus is a great one as well, and can be used for the common cold and all different kinds of things. Lavender is so great, not only for its relaxing properties, but using it for antibacterial, anti-infectious, antiviral properties as well. And I love lavender because it's great on burns. So especially moms that are sleep deprived in the kitchen, like me, have a tendency to burn themselves, or at least I do. And lavender will take a burnout instantly. And then it's great for sunburns. So especially in San Diego, it's awesome to have on hand. And let me think, what else? Those three I think would be really great. And they're really excellent price point.
Okay. So I'd love to open this up to our panelists now. So ladies in the studio, which essential oils did you start with your family and why did you choose to start using them? Tiffany.
I think I started with tea tree oil was probably one of my first, and lavender actually. And I remember I specifically started shortly after my son was born. He was exposed to some nasty yuckies and ended up getting sick. And we were both obviously very limited in what we could do. So I started diffusing some tea tree oil to see if that would help. And I think I just got lavender because it smelled good. I didn't even know what it would do at first, but that was pretty much how I started. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's where I started.
Okay. How are you, Sarah?
We started about the same, lavender and then the Melaleuca in her wipes. water. That's what I started with. And, you know, chamomile a little bit. And I think Digestzen. I think it was those four that we kind of used the most at the beginning.
Okay.
Kind of an introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you, MJ?
Peppermint and lavender, eucalyptus. And then I forgot that actually to make the cloth wipes, I used a little tea tree oil in them too. So those are pretty much the ones that we had on hand that were always out.
Okay.
Yeah.
For us, I know we use a lot of the blends. And so especially for doTERRA, the On Guard, we have that blowing in our house literally throughout the entire flu season. and it's something that I was turned on to by my chiropractor, actually, as well as Rachel. And then the Digestzen for those like serious, the amount of stomach bugs going around that I see on Facebook literally throw me into panic attacks. And so the Digestzen is often used any sense that I feel like my stomach's a little off. And then I use the lavender for just soothing my kids, as well as anytime we've traveled and they've gotten mosquito bites, it tends to take the itch out of them, which has been nice, so they don't scratch their little bodies up. So Rachel, Julie had posted on Facebook, how do you administer essential oils, and is one way preferred over another?
Well, it really depends on what you are using the essential oils for. So definitely when you're talking about children and infants, I recommend diluting the oils. But there's definitely something to be said for proximity. So if you are trying to treat a headache, you know, back of the neck, the temples, there's a vein that runs right above your ear, that's great. But if you're just talking about like general wanting to stay well, bottom of the feet is great. You can put oils on the bottom of the feet and they will touch every cell in your body in 20 minutes. And that's really the best way for me to get oils on my kids, because then I don't have to worry about hands and the eyes and the mouth and getting oils anywhere that they shouldn't. I don't dilute oils on myself very often unless I want them to go a lot farther. If I'm using oils because everybody's sick, then I will definitely dilute them, mix them in a bottle, because I'm using them, you know, every 30 minutes. And that's something I should mention that's really important when using essential oils, is you should use them very sparingly but very often. So you will get the best results if you use a very small, you know, a drop or less every 30 minutes to an hour. If you're combating something that you are concerned about. My daughter recently had RSV, and I got rid of it in 5 days, but I didn't sleep for a week because I was putting oils on her every 30 minutes and, or, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. It kind of depends on what exactly you're trying to treat, but you can obviously use them topically. You can diffuse them. Somebody just mentioned a diffuser, and we keep diffusers running in our house, and I'm really excited. We have diffusers in all the classrooms in David's school now, and so I'm hoping that keeps all of this nastiness going around to a minimum. And then doTERRA actually recommends internal consumption of many of their oils because they are so pure. I don't recommend giving them to, you know, babies or children internally, but they can be taken internally, and I personally take them internally semi-regularly.
Okay. And Melissa had posted on our Facebook page, are there particular essential oils that are not recommended for lactating moms, such as peppermint? And does it matter if these particular oils are used topically, internally, or just diffused in the air?
That's a really good question. Peppermint is a cold oil. It will drop a fever very quickly. And when you're talking about, I mean, this is getting into a whole different, deeper conversation, but, you know, Chinese medicine, when you look at all these different things and you're a lactating mother, you have this heat in your body that needs to keep from being disrupted in order to produce milk, and peppermint can disrupt that production. So it doesn't have that effect on everybody. In fact, it's a pretty small percentage of women that it does have that effect on, but it affects me that way, so I know that peppermint does deplete milk supply for some women. And I have two other moms that I know of that I work with that have had the same reaction. There are lots of moms that don't have that reaction, but I definitely recommend trying it out in a very small amount, especially if you're concerned about your supply. I would probably just avoid it. And honestly, I don't know about diffusing it. My initial reaction would be that you should not diffuse it either, simply because the quickest way to get an essential oil into your body is, or anything is into your bloodstream, is by inhaling it. So I have been searching since I saw that question to try to find a good answer, and I don't have a really solid answer, but if you are concerned about your supply, I would just avoid peppermint altogether. And I have not had any issues with any other essential oils in breastfeeding, but I always recommend testing an essential oil before you lather your whole body in it. just patch test it. You know, it's this isn't an exact science, and everybody reacts differently. It's very unlikely that you would have, you know, some crazy allergic reaction, but you might not like the way an oil feels on you. You might not like the way an oil smells. So just test it before you do too much with it. But it shouldn't affect your supply. And I've read a few articles saying that oils like oregano or very, very strong oils can affect the taste of your milk. But I have not heard from any moms that I've personally worked with that they've had any issue with that.
Okay. So essentially, essential oils are safe for both the lactating mom and her infant and child.
Correct.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, when we come back, Rachel will discuss some essential oil remedies for some common breastfeeding concerns and ailments. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to the show. We are here with Rachel Adams Gonzalez, and we are talking about essential oils for the breastfeeding mom. So I have a question for our panelists before we get back into actually the interview with Rachel. So ladies, have you used essential oils to treat ailments while you are breastfeeding? Tiffany, how about you?
Absolutely. Probably the one that I've used the most frequently is On Guard. Once I kind of started delving into the world of essential oils a little bit more, that became my go-to. And as we know, everybody's been struggling through this cold season, and everybody's been getting sick. And knock on wood, we've managed to not every time we've been exposed to anything or started feeling the slightest bit ooky. I've done On Guard both internally and diffused it, and then I've also used the Breathe Ease formula if we've got any chest yuckiness going on, and we've managed to stay healthy through this cold season. So
cool. And so you use it both on yourself and your child?
I haven't used anything directly on Jackson. It makes me a little bit nervous, so we've decided to just stick with diffusing for him. At this point, he's just a little young still, and it just makes me nervous. So I'd rather use it on myself and then diffuse it in the air. And so far, it's been working for us. So
cool. How about you, Sarah?
A little bit of the same. I mean, we use like the Flu Bomb around our house a lot, which has the On Guard in it. We use that a lot this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I do actually use it on my baby, but I dilute it way down. And I put kind of like an immunity thing on her as well, because she's not vaccinated at this point. So it has On Guard. It has a few other ones. Not oregano. I know that because I don't believe you're supposed to use that for more than 10 days in a row. But there's a few other things that we use on her on a regular basis, but way diluted. But a lot of On Guard, Breathe, we love. Yeah, I think those are mainly, especially right now through the season.
Yeah.
Yes,
definitely. How about you, MJ?
For myself, we use peppermint a lot. Like if our tummies are upset at all, we'll just throw a few drops in our hand and throw it on our tummy. I actually just used it on Jason the other day, so 2.5. I will have a little coconut oil and then throw some eucalyptus oil or peppermint. Or not peppermint, but just eucalyptus oil in there, like when we get sick, and that'll, I'll put it on his feet, and I'll put it under our noses, on our chest. So definitely, I mean, it's like a lifesaver sometimes. It changes so much so quickly.
Yeah. All right. So Rachel, let's talk about a few specific things for the breastfeeding mom. So which essential oils do you recommend to help recover from mastitis, and why these particular ones?
Well, I personally have used oregano and melaleuca heavily diluted, especially oregano is a very hot oil, and it's not something that you want to put near your nipple where your child could potentially get it in his or her mouth. without heavily diluting it. And I would still recommend wiping it off. If you're putting it on your nipple, definitely wipe it off before you breastfeed. But I also really recommend using oils for increasing milk supply if you do have mastitis. At least I know I struggled with my supply, especially when I was fighting mastitis. And some oils that can be used are clary sage, geranium, fennel. They're really great for increasing your milk supply, and they're all essential oils are antibacterial, anti-infectious, and antiviral. So we actually sell a blend called Clary Calm, and it has all of those oils in it and a few more. It's marketed as a hormone balancing blend, but it has all these great oils in it for increasing your milk supply. So when Cecilia was born, I just put it on all over my boobs, really, pretty much every time I nursed, just because I was fighting clogged ducts with all the pumping I was doing. We had a number of issues, and fortunately, I never got mastitis with her because I was always using oils, but I definitely was dealing with some clogged ducts, and it brought my milk in very, very quickly, especially because I was dealing with a lot of health problems. I didn't expect to get my milk in less than 24 hours. And so, you know, it's another thing that you want to play around with your body a little bit and see how you react to the different oils. But you can also take oregano internally. And I don't know if it was Sarah that mentioned that you don't want to take oregano for an extended period of time because it is a pretty intense oil. And it will wipe out anything that you're fighting. So any kind of virus or infection, you can use this like as if you were taking an antibiotic. It's very intense, but it can be very hard on your stomach. Definitely, if you're taking it internally, have food on your stomach, and you only need a couple drops max. So that's something to keep in mind. And were you going to ask about thrush as well?
Yeah. So that was a question that came up actually a lot on our Facebook page, was the safety of placing essential oils on mom's nipple when treating thrush and her and her baby. So what are kind of the protocols on that?
Well, oregano can also be used for thrush. It's pretty much a catch-all. I wouldn't recommend a baby internally consuming any oil. Even if it's very diluted, I don't think it's necessary. It's not going to cause grave damage if you have essential oils that are residual, that they happen to get in their mouth. But I wouldn't intentionally put essential oils in a baby's mouth. You can put diluted melaleuca, lavender, whatever oils you have that you're comfortable putting on your baby, heavily diluted, just on the bottom of their feet, and it will take care of the thrush for them. And then you can take it internally yourself, take oregano, or you can put melaleuca or basically it's the same treatment that you would use for mastitis, because essential oils are, more encompassing than other other medications. But I would still definitely wipe off any essential oil that you have directly on your nipple before you breastfeed.
Even if it's been a couple hours?
If it's absorbed, but I just wouldn't put a bunch on there and then put a baby's mouth right on it.
Okay. And essential oils that are great for calming a mom's nerves and around stressful situations, which can sometimes be breastfeeding or just regular old postpartum feelings after your kiddo's been born. What are your tips for those?
I already mentioned I love Clary Calm, and I think it pretty much saved me with my last postpartum situation. It's a really great blend for just helping balance your hormones and your milk supply and everything hormone related. But I really love a blend that doTERRA sells called Serenity, and the name pretty much explains it. It's a lavender based, but it's a calming blend. It's basically just to help bring everything down a notch. And then there's another blend that is a frankincense base that is called Balance, and it's really great. And what I really recommend is if you can smell these oils before you purchase them, it's ideal, because you will know when you smell an oil if that's the one for you. If you don't like the way something smells, it's probably not going to go that great with your body chemistry. It's not necessarily bad. It's just if you love the way an oil smells, it probably is going to have the best effect on your body, in my opinion, and that's I go through waves of loving Balance, Serenity, a few other blends that we have, Elevation, one day I love one day I love another one, but you really can't go wrong. It's just personal preference, really.
It's funny. I have Serenity, and I switch between Serenity and Balance in my office, and it's amazing. Like, you know, I have a lot of moms come in and they sit down and they're like, "Oh, it's so nice and relaxing in here." And I'm like, "I know. I'm like dosing you up on essential oils to make your baby latch on the way that he needs to." It's like I'm using some witch doctor tips. So, ladies in this studio, you've talked about kind of the usage of essential oils in your house. Do you find that you're staying healthy and that your family's staying healthy and that they're fairly effective if you feel like you've got some stuff that you've been, you know, you've been around that you're kind of worried that everyone's catching? Tiffany, you're nodding your head.
Absolutely. I definitely attribute us being able to stay healthy. I even got my husband to agree to try my crazy hippie homeopathic remedies this last time he got sick. And guess who got better in about 2 days without any of his normal, you know, Claritin, Mucinex, I mean, you name it, and he's pill popper. And he did really well, and he was like, okay, that stuff worked. I was like, yay.
How about you, Sarah?
Yeah, we haven't been sick. I mean, we did get a little, started to get a hint of something when we went up north over the holidays. But within like a day and a half, we kicked whatever was going on, you know, with just frequency versus quantity with essential oils, like often versus using them a lot, taking a big dose. So
it's kind of like homeopathy as well. Small doses frequently.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, MJ?
Yeah, same over here. And actually my husband responds really well to, and thankfully he's open to our hippie crunchy ways that we've adapted as well. But yeah, he's like an advocate for, we use a lot of homeopathy, but we use a lot of oils too. So it's definitely, and my son too, it's just kind of, sometimes I forget to use them. And it's like, you know, you just want your kid to get better. And then you think about it and you're like, dang it, why didn't I think of this before? So, but definitely, and I don't know, you know, what good karma I have, but I have definitely stayed away from any sickness because of that. And thankfully, because, you know, you can't get sick as a mom. So I'm very thankful
sick
for that.
Sick kids are the saddest things ever.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think my biggest success story with essential oils, not only did I get my husband on board, which he would always go for the NyQuil and the Triaminic and Dimetapp, literally, like, I mean, he should have bought stock in it in college. So he's totally into it, but I converted his mother, my mother-in-law from Brooklyn, who back in the day, this is what they used. So she actually asked for me to buy her and her friend the Digest Zen, and she's like, it's magic. So it's so wonderful to see, like, you know, my other family members benefiting from these really healthy remedies. You know, I love them. So Rachel, what essential oils do you recommend for treating cold symptoms while breastfeeding, and how do you recommend that they're used?
Well, there's a few, and Onguard has come up a handful of times since we've been chatting, and that is just a phenomenal blend. It's known as our protective blend, but it includes wild orange, clove, cinnamon, eucalyptus, and rosemary. And this blend has been tested quite a bit on viruses, bacteria. It actually kills MRSA, H1N1. It can be heavily diluted, and it's amazingly effective. We diffuse it in our house every day, and we also mix it up with a few other oils, kind of depending on my mood. But typically, I'll put On Guard with, you know, like 20 drops of On Guard with one or two drops of oregano, because it is very potent, some lavender and some eucalyptus, and then put half carrier oil. So I use a fractionated coconut oil, which just means it stays liquidy, but you can use olive oil or whatever you have on hand. And put that in a little roll-on bottle, and everybody gets that on the bottom of their feet morning and night. And then you can use like a blend that we have called Breathe that has eucalyptus and peppermint in it. And that really helps open up any kind of chest congestion, but it does have peppermint in it. So just keep that in mind if you're breastfeeding. If you want to avoid peppermint, eucalyptus is really great. And lemon is wonderful at clearing out any kind of wetness. So if you have like a wet cough or a lot of congestion in your head, if you feel like you're fighting ear infections or sinus infections, melaleuca, which is tea tree, I don't know if I explained that before. Those terms get used interchangeably quite a bit. It's another great anti-infectious oil, as well as lavender. And if you are treating an ear infection associated with a virus or colds or anything like that, it's very important to remember not to put any essential oils directly in the ear. They can be put on a cotton ball and set the cotton ball in the ear, or they can be rubbed behind the ear, but never in the ear. And then as well with the sinus infection, you can just put on your temples, your cheeks, your forehead, but you want to be careful not to get them too close to your eyes, especially if you're using stronger oils like peppermint. It will just make your eyes water like crazy and you'll be able to open them. It won't necessarily cause harm. It's just very strong.
And what are your favorite oils for infants? And if we're putting them on the infants, I assume they're more heavily diluted. But if we're using them in the air, bottom of the feet, stuff like that, what are your favorite ones?
Well, diffusing On Guard. I mean, we diffuse for the whole family, so it's not necessarily different for babies. But topically, I use lavender most commonly with my kids, but it can be very heavily diluted and still very effective because they are so pure. I also really like using geranium. It's very floral, so not everybody loves geranium, but it has really great properties, and it's another, I mean, all essential oils are anti-infectious, but it is really great. And I love to do little foot massages with geranium and all heavily dilute some lemon or melaleuca and put it on chest or back if it's something that we're fighting that's, you know, we just went through RSV. So I'll use other oils that I wouldn't normally use on a daily basis. Frankincense is another great one that is, it's pretty much an all-encompassing oil because it's very anti-inflammatory, and every cold, infection, injury, everything is associated with some kind of inflammation. So frankincense is one of my default oils. If I'm, when in doubt, use frankincense.
Okay, cool. I have a little colic remedy that I use that's heavily diluted lavender and wild orange that I use for kind of soothing and calming that I found in a book that I was using. So, and speaking of books, would love to know kind of where do you all find your resources for, you know, which essential oils you'd want to use for a particular ailment, or where are you finding help to kind of to guide you along this process? Tiffany, what do you use?
A lot of my mama friends, actually, people that have gone before me. I ask for a lot of advice from friends that I know have been using essential oils for a while. And then as I started learning more and specifically looking into the doTERRA oils, they have this great little booklet that's, I don't even remember what it's called, but it's a fantastic little booklet, and it pretty much, you look up an ailment and it has recommendations for which oils to use. And I find that really helpful as well. So it's kind of my cheat sheet.
Yeah. How about you, Sarah?
Like maybe the Modern Essentials book.
Yes. I think that's the one.
Yeah, it's like the Bible of essential oils. And they make a smaller one too that you can carry around that's nice.
Yeah, it's the little small one that I know I have.
And they have an online version that I go to a lot. That's eeoils.me. I'm there. I have it bookmarked on my phone.
Cool.
I'm there like multiple times a day. And then I just will find blends like, I don't know, Pinterest, you know, like that people have, you know, I don't know if they work, but let's try it and see, you know.
Okay. Oh, cool. So, I didn't even think about Pinterest.
I don't know, because I wanted like, what else can we try? I don't know. I have all these oils. What am I going to do with them?
I feel the same way sometimes. MJ, how about you?
I'm the same as Tiffany. I put down, you know, Facebook groups, all my mamas. my sister, she lives in LA, but she had my nephew like 14 years before I had my son. So she's way ahead. So I'm always looking to her for natural remedies and natural ways to do things. So she's hip with the oils and homeopathy. So definitely lean on the other people in my life who have used them before.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rachel, how about you? Where are your favorite resources?
Well, a couple of my favorites that have already been mentioned, the Modern Essentials book and EE.me is everythingessential.me. And that's that is a great resource if you are, you can type in anything and it will not only give you a description, it will give you a variety of suggested protocols. And then there's a discussion panel where people can post their different remedies. And, you know, because this is something that there isn't just a hard and fast rule of this is going to work for every single thing. Everybody's body is different, but it's important to have some options. And I also read a lot of scientific articles on how essential oils can be used. My husband is a toxicologist, so he makes me really make sure I know about the scientific end of this. There is a great website called aromaticscience.com. And it's a compilation of journals, medical journals, and all different publications that involve essential oils. And there's a ton of different books out there that you can read. But I always warn moms against getting caught up in just blog posts about essential oils because they're primarily opinion-based and they can really scare you sometimes and give you all kinds of ideas that are not necessarily, you know, remedies for things that maybe shouldn't be used on babies or vice versa. So it's just something to keep in mind when you are doing research to make sure that you're finding your information from a reputable source.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, and to our panelists for sharing this amazing information about the uses of essential oils for not only breastfeeding moms, because I'm not breastfeeding, but, you know, but moms in general and how to treat their families.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And for our Boob Group Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of the show, as Rachel will discuss her favorite essential oils for helping infants and toddlers settle to sleep. For more information about our Boob Group Club, please visit our website at theboobgroup.com.
Hi, Boob Group. My name is Autumn, and I am a pre- and postnatal fitness expert from MyTailoredFitness.com. Did you know that you can safely exercise while breastfeeding without affecting your milk supply? Studies show that even intense exercise does not change the quality or quantity of a mother's milk supply, nor does it affect your baby's weight gain. But you do need to make sure you're eating enough calories and drinking enough water to replace those nutrients you were using during your workout. Studies show if your daily calories drop below 1,500, your milk supply can be affected. So make sure to include healthy, nutrient-rich snacks into your daily routine. You will also need additional water to stay hydrated during and after exercise. To make exercise more comfortable, you should buy a supportive sports bra. You may also find it helpful to breastfeed your baby right before you exercise. To learn more about exercising after your baby arrives, check out the blog at MyTailoredFitness.com. We have lots of helpful information for this special time of life. And keep listening to The Boob Group for more breastfeeding tips.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, our show, Parent Savers, for moms and dads with newborns, infants, and toddlers, and Twin Talks, our brand new show for parents and multiples. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, your judgment-free breastfeeding resource.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.